So welcome back, everyone, to the third installment of the Founders Podcast, Desert Island Discs, where we might actually be talking about Desert Island Discs on this one. But really, the focus of this series is more towards the future and talking amongst this group, kind of what we want to achieve together, why we're excited. And really, really advice for all of us as we move forwards. This time, we welcome David, or as I know he's commonly and kindly referred to, is it the Doctor or Dr. D? I've heard all of the above, which I adore. Obviously, one of the original Appen founders who I really wanted here to kind of talk about going forward. So I'm going to kick it off by asking the probably one of the biggest questions that we've had, which is, why are you all personally excited about the coming together of What If and Happen? Who wants to go first on that one?
I'm happy to give it a shot. I mean, I think a lot of that is captured in the idea of just possibility. I think, you know, we both sort of as organisations have a lot, in a way, lots in common. We sort of wove a different pathway to the businesses we created, and I think that's very clear in there's elements of, you know, very tangible things like our methodologies, our clients, that sort of thing, where there are differences. But there's the less tangible things like our personalities, where there are also differences. And I can see already just starting to work together how you put those two things together, you get something that's way more than the two things separately. So I think one of the big things that excites me is it's full of possibilities. We don't quite know what it is. It's like we've got this huge kind of canvas and playground where we know there's a kind of broad vision. Let's create, you know, the biggest and best innovation business in the world. And then all of these sort of interesting ingredients, which, you know, sometimes are going to work really well together, and other times we're going to mix them together and they're going to taste terrible. And it's going to be that sort of experimentation until we get the recipe right. But that's my best shot at sort of describing why I'm excited about it.
Brilliant. Thank you, David.
It's Matt here. Yeah, I think that... at What If, we've been doing our own thing for quite a long time. There's a funny way in which you could almost look at us and say we haven't been very innovative for quite a long time, which is a little bit weird for an innovation company. And we've often joked about this, haven't we, in the past, where sometimes, you know, the self-proclaimed innovators are actually quite conservative. I think the coming together of Happen and What If, from What If's perspective, will be really great, because I think we need a bit of a shake-up sometimes, and I think we need people to show us new ways of doing things. And we've clearly been on parallel paths for many, many years, so we should have a huge amount of shared unconscious shared history and shared common ways of doing things. But we've obviously explored doing them slightly differently. So I think from difference and diversity, as long as you've got a shared agenda and values and trust and respect and all that good stuff, only good things will come.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting. Obviously, both of you picked up on the theme around diversity and difference, and it being both kind of absolute beauty and joy of the kind of coming together, but also something that will create some rub. But it's the recognition that actually, and I've been talking about this to the Happen teams and What If teams, which is ultimately we all believe that the best innovations happen when multiple perspectives are encouraged around an idea. And there is that diversity and collision of thought and perspective. And actually, that's almost the coming together is almost that dream or that ambition or that knowledge, that insight, that innovation coming true.
So building on that, what would I say? I think you're talking about, I like to think about, that's a goulash. We've got a bigger and better goulash. You know, we've mixed together a whole new set of ingredients. And I think the ingredients go together because of the things the guys have talked about: philosophy, energy, passion, belief, the values. They really overlap. So suddenly I'm feeling like we've put together a richer, tastier goulash with some new flavors and ingredients, which I think is fantastic. So that's the first thing.
Can it be a vegetarian goulash? Can it be a vegetarian goulash?
It can be any bloody goulash we want, I think. That's the joy of it. We can do varieties. We can have varieties. We can have a multi-pack in the Kellogg's goulash tradition, I think. And then I think the other thing is we're coming together at a really important time, i.e. we're coming together, but we're becoming part of Accenture. And Accenture is like a 500,000 person beast. And we could be like a pinprick on a pinprick of a pimple in a huge organization. And I think you need some critical mass. I think we need a band of people who are together fighting for the same thing inside Accenture. And I think having a bigger band with the diversity we've talked about is really important right now. And I think that's the second reason it's exciting. It gives us some power and some energy at a really critical time in the development of both companies.
Maybe just to pick up on that, in the thing that sits underneath the pimple, this huge organization, one of the exciting things I discovered yesterday is there's somebody whose job it is to go and find the right person for me to speak to, a client, when I've got an idea I want to pitch to them. I'm like, how exciting is that? You know, that somebody actually has, that's somebody's job, not my job anymore, but somebody's able to go and find me the right person to talk to. So, you know, on top of bringing together the happen and the what if offers and being big enough to be noticed, I think, you know, you add that into the possibility that being part of the Accenture organization offers us, and then that it just becomes huge.
Brilliant. Mark? I've got other questions up my sleeve.
Sure. Maybe just building on what Matt said, that innovation as an industry is relatively young, right? You know, between us, we're probably the old hands in this industry. So 30 years, you know, you now study innovation as an MBA. So that wasn't around in the 90s. And I think we're due for some disruption in our own industry. And I think it's a good time to come together and embrace that. So I think we've been through a cycle, and I think, you know, there are lots of macro factors that might impact the next cycle. But I think coming together is a really interesting thing to face into, because we've all got the grey hairs and the experience to handle it. And there's some fantastic talent there to navigate what the next generation of innovation will be. So that's why I'm excited about the two companies coming together.
Brilliant. And I guess that really relates to my next question, which is, if you're the old hand or old guard, and you've got a bunch of now what 125 plus innovators in London that are kind of, we spoke last time about kind of, you know, shepherding towards the new era. And I think ultimately, you know, I know I feel, and others do, you know, extremely responsible to take essentially what was all of your dream and your livelihood and move it on and steward it into the next chapter. You know, what's your hope? Like, what's your ask and your wish of us that we, is, you know, as you ride off into the sunset and hopefully not too distant future, but eventually one day, like, what do you hope for your organisations?
So I would say this. I would say, I think the lovely thing about What If and Happen is they have a strong sense of identity. And what both companies have been able to do is to take that and enable people who join it to make that their identity too. You know, to bring their DNA to that. So the first thing I hope is that it continues to be a place that attracts super talented innovators who feel they can do some of the best works of their lives and do it in a way that's true to themselves. Do you know what I mean? Where they can be themselves. I think that's that little cocktail is a really fundamental part of what it is to be an innovator at What If and at Happen. And so I hope, you know, in terms of what stays the same or you know, I hope that stays the same, but with a hell of a lot more people, you know, bringing their take to it. So I think that's the first thing. I think the second thing is we've always said that we thought innovation is a force for good in the world. You know, that you apply it to the right things, you can change big and meaningful problems that the world's facing. And let's face it, we're in a time of COVID, in a time when we know there's going to be economic uncertainty, and in a time where actually technology and our ability to use technology in meaningful ways is going to be often the difference between a better future and a not better future. I think my second hope is that we use the platform that we now have with Happn, What If, and Accenture to really do some cool shit in the world. Like, not little things, but big things. Big things that count. Like the team who are working at Kaiser Permanente on, you know, food poverty in America, or the team that's working with the UK government on how we reshape government and change the way they work. Do you know what I mean? They're the sorts of big questions I would hope that we as a group can answer. And I think when we were just little old What If Matt and Dave, we could never do that. And probably the same is true of Happn. But now we're a part, we stand for something in something bigger. I think the opportunities and the legacy that we could create for all of us is so much bigger. And I hope people find the right challenges and do some really cool shit.
My thoughts on this one in the future, I mean, Dave's mentioned a lot of things which I agree with. I think the one thing is I would really hope that working at What If continues to be a really special place, and it continues to be a valuable place to people in their careers. I'd like to think of What If as a career accelerator. I'd like to think that you can join this company and you can get the most incredible experiences and have the most incredible responsibility, so that, you know, if you decide or when you decide to leave, because let's face it, it's only really healthy that people don't work for the same company forever, for their whole lives. But, you know, when you decide to leave, then having What If on your CV is an incredibly, or Happn, or the What If Happn Accenture combination in your CV is an incredibly valuable thing to have. And you'll sort of find yourself as a, you know, in a sort of premium category of person. Like, people really want you because you've been here. And I think the minute we lose that, or, you know, would be a terrible thing for us to lose. And I don't think we will. But I would encourage people to think about themselves first, always. I know this sounds like a really weird thing to say, but it's really important you put your career first, you know, like you put your family first, and you need to think about yourself. And I think you need to think about this place. It's like, am I really getting the maximum value and maximum learning out of it? And I can't think of anywhere else where you could get more, really. But that's my hope, that kind of career added valueness of the organization continues.
And it's interesting to listen to you and Dave, because ultimately, if you look at the platform around technology and doing these massive things, like as a career opportunity to be able to do all of that, but from the basis of having this like incredible community and culture, it's like, it's just it's like an unrivaled talent proposition if we can actually articulate it. Right?
It's bonkers, isn't it? I wish I was in my 20s. I mean, I wish I was in my 20s for a lot of reasons. I wish I was in my 20s right now, starting my career again, being able to join What If Happn Accenture at this point now with all those years ahead of me. Wow, what a fantastic, fantastic platform opportunity. And I'm not for one minute saying I regret anything I've done with Dave and starting a business and everything like that, because that was an equally crazy ride. But for anybody who's embarking on a career or mid-career right now, I cannot think of a more richer, wider playing field ahead of them with open arms. Can a playing field have open arms? I don't know. Mine has.
It can in innovation. And you know what's interesting about that? We have senior people knocking on our door in a way that we never did before, particularly because I think the opportunities that they see ahead of kind of being in this and beyond. So it's at all levels that that exists. It's at all levels that exists. Thank you both.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dave, you pretty much nailed it. I mean, the two pieces really very much are the environment in which everybody can be themselves and thrive, and then this thing about cranking up the impact that we can have in the world. I think the only variance I would say is that I've always passionately believed that all innovation that we deliver to the world can have huge impact, even if it's tiny stuff. And I always use the example of, you know, if you anybody who's spilt the milk because they can't get the anti-tamper thing off the lid in the morning knows how that your day can decay from there onwards. So I would never undersell the value of those tiny bits of innovation that we deliver as well. But I think the thing that's super exciting, my hope for the future, is that we're able to dial up from there, from that platform of, you know, all of the different pieces that you need to be able to fix the bigger problem. And, you know, I'm passionate about life sciences. And you know, I think the experience of the last weeks has demonstrated that, you know, things like remote diagnostics, things like remote consultation, it's like we're ready for revolution, and we are now part of an organization that can help deliver that revolution for the world and leave it a better place because of it. So those are absolutely, you know, those are my hopes for the future.
Thank you. Amazing.
And I guess probably I think, you know, there's an opportunity for us, for our teams to grow. The thing I think about in this industry, and it kind of is linked to the point that I made earlier, is that when people say, what do you do? And this applies to all ages. You don't have to be in your 20s. And you say innovation, more oftentimes people just look at you blankly, particularly at Christmas, right? With relatives. And I think there's an opportunity now for us to elevate the whole industry, frankly, around what innovation is, what it means to society and what it means to business and what it means for those people who are in business and in society. I think that's the thing that's really a big opportunity, so that, you know, in the future, when you say you work in innovation, there's a level of respect there, an acknowledgement of who you are and what you do to change people's lives. And that takes time, right? That's not the work of the four of us or the 100 and however many people in it. Yeah, and it's certainly not the work of a year or two, but I think that's something that's really important, such that in 20 years time, it's acknowledged as innovation is a cornerstone of business and society.
Wonderful. They're four dreams they can get behind, and I think are totally doable, actually. I really think that we have everything at our fingertips now. I've been saying a little bit that I feel now we've got this ecosystem around us, there's no excuse like not to change the world. You can't have the excuse that there's like, you know, the brand company didn't get the DNA of the insights, they didn't do a good enough solution, which is what we said with Ageas, or I've heard it before, like, you know, the technology company didn't build it effectively. It's like it's our responsibility now to make sure that we use Accenture to fulfill all of this. Excellent. All right, I'm going to change tack just for a little bit and go from really big conversations to less big but maybe a bit more fun. So I would love to ask you, seeing as this was themed in this, what your personal desert island discs would be. And so I'd just love to know your personal one song and one object that you would take to a desert island, which maybe you will be doing in a few years' time, that will keep you satisfied and keep your innovation brain.
I'm happy to go first. So in terms of a song, And it's partly there's a recency bias with this, but I think the notion of when you work in innovation, we talked about this last time, it being like an adventure. And so I think there's something that encompasses that for me, which is sadly departed Bill Withers and Lovely Day. Which, you know, every time you listen to it, it's either acknowledgement of the day to come or the day that's just happened, which I link very strongly to the spirit of adventure and innovation. An object. I am playing a lot of, trying to, on a patio of tennis with my 5-year-old daughter. So I think I take a racket and a ball.
That is lovely, but technically they count as two, so I'm going to have to disqualify you.
All right, I'll take it. I'll play with a coconut and a racket then. I'll take the racket.
Bravo, two lovely day. I can see it now. I'm there. I love it. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to go slightly more obscure. So I'm going to go with the Mark Andrews epic remix of the Jacksons' Can You Feel It? And that is top of mind just because Mark Andrews was a DJ I admired greatly in the 90s. Some of you might know I did a bit of DJing myself in the 90s, but he passed away the week before last. And as a sort of role model, one of the things about him was he was deeply uncool, to be honest. I mean, he played stuff that was never cool, never ever cool, but technically I think he was one of the most brilliant, and he only ever did his own thing, and as a result sort of created a reputation for the club he played at, which, you know, was just a pure legend amongst the people who followed him. So that's my pick, and then my object would be a yoga mat, and that's my very practical head coming on. I like practicing yoga, but a yoga mat is, you know, you can sunbathe on it, you can sleep on it, you can turn it into a chair. It has all sorts of, I'm also an avid camper, so, you know, that yoga mat is something you would always have with you.
Yeah. I love it. I would say that's a bit practical, but also just really savvy, to be honest with you. Innovative mind, multiple uses of the paperclip or yoga mat. So... thank you. Also, I'm definitely going to be watching and listening to that DJ who I don't know enough about. Matt and Dave, who wants to kick us off?
I'm going down memory lane. So this is a song that came out before probably about 70% of What If was even born. Okay. So it's Love Will Tear Us Apart, Joy Division. It's around about... it's the 1980s. It's the early 1980s. It was around the time I was pretty young. I was sort of, I don't know, sixth form college, something like that. Sixth form college, going to uni or something like that. I had a record player. Look those up, guys, if you're listening to this, what a record player is. And record players used to have two speeds. You could play 45s or 78s. 78s was I think it was a faster speed to take a bigger, was it a slower speed to take a bigger, I can't remember how it worked. Anyway, but I used to play, it was a single, that's a plastic thing that you put on a record player, a round thing, and I used to play it at slow speed. So it's one of the world's most depressing stroke uplifting songs. I used to play it over and over and over again. And I used to play it over and over again at slow speed. God knows why. Anyway, look up Joy Division, Love Will Tear Us Apart. It's absolutely incredible. Beautiful, beautiful, haunting, a haunting piece of music. And my object would be a big fat cigar. I don't actually smoke, but I kind of just got this fantastic image of being on a desert island with Love Will Tear Us Apart, and me sitting there puffing on a cigar. It's just an incredibly great feeling.
We've got tennis and yoga squeaky clean. It's good to have a dirty cigar there too. Perfect.
So the song Mr. Blue Sky by ELO. It was on the first album I ever bought in my life. It is dumb. Jeff Lynne is a musical genius. and completely changed the way, you know, music sounded. And he is also, you look at his history and the people he played with, when the Beatles got back and reformed together for one last time, the person they called on to orchestrate it all was Jeff Lynne. And when he decided to form a group after ELO, he created the Traveling Wilburys and managed to bring together this amazing selection of, you know, oh, it's bloody gone, but lots of famous people. Oh, yeah, someone from the Beatles, someone from, I'll come back to that. Anyway, but so he's just an amazing musician and amazing sound. And if you get the chance, they still tours, go and see him. It's insane. And you will know more songs than you ever believe, and they're brilliant. And the item I would take would be a football. Because, I don't know, two reasons. One is I very rarely get to just... I'm assuming I'm going to meet natives on my desert island and I'm going to basically be able to organise a kickabout. And I think football's the universal language. Plus, if I need to get off the desert island, at least I can hold on to it and float. So there you go.
So my conclusion is you are all incredibly innovative with your items. Most of you are really sporty, apart from Matt, who's hedonistic. There you go. That's how I found us. I know, that was brilliant. That was actually really good. We're nearly at time. And so I'm gonna close up by just saying thank you so much. Thank you for everything. Thank you for all of this and sharing all of the insights. I think we're all gonna really enjoy hearing them and together kind of building the next couple of years. And I'm gonna ask us to close out by just everyone going around and saying their biggest learning in 10 seconds over your innovation career. One biggest learning. Mark, I'm gonna start with you.
Accept failure.
Matt,
keep going.
Dave,
that was mine. Persistence.
David,
listen, because you can't possibly be good at everything, so listen hard.
So much wisdom, I can feel it. All right, thanks, thank you, Emma. So much, thanks everyone,
thanks very much,
thank you.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.